Well, good morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here in New Zealand. There are clouds in the sky, not many. Very still. There's a slight, very slight dew on the ground. I'm just going for a quick walk. Haven't got any sunglasses on, but definitely, as the sun gets higher, you probably want to wear some shades, so to speak. But as you can feel the vibe of New Zealand suburbia, the reason being right now that it's good to walk is because it's cool. It's going to be very hot shortly, and there's not much traffic because it's Saturday. This weekend is Auckland's anniversary weekend, so that means Monday is a holiday, as human nature would dictate. Many of the city's inhabitants have taken off yesterday, which was Friday afternoon or Friday, and particularly in the afternoon, they've beat the feet, taken off elsewhere, south or north. Consequently, yesterday's traffic in the afternoon heading south was a bit more busier than usual. This morning, as I walk through right now, I don't see one car on the road where I am. Not one. Having said that, there's probably 1,000 going to come up now, but very still. Walking the dog at the moment. And it's an ideal time to walk, because when it gets hotter, it's hot on the dock, and the footpath gets hot. And depending on what type of dog you have, obviously, it depends on how the dog handles the heat. Here's a car, one of those unusual beasts, a vehicle, like a science fiction movie sometimes when there's nothing around. But it's all good as I walk through suburbia. I see one chap looking out, probably waiting for somebody. It's road cones. I'm painting a picture for you, but there's road cones, as there are in many parts of Auckland. Very bright orange road cones, squillions of them, literally thousands of them throughout the city. They overtake entire streets for quite some time while work is progressing. There's a lot of work going on in Auckland. And it has been for some years. Very disruptive. So between all the other things you have to contend with, it's this continuum of roadworks which is disrupted to the point where you go down a road, go around a corner, and it says road closed, detour. But there's no actual indication of that happening until you're a few meters, maybe 50 meters away from the detour itself. Consequently, to use that term again, it can be quite a bloody nightmare if you have to travel to meet somebody. So, because of the way that things have been happening in the last couple of years, there are more people having online meetings. So let's take a look at the online meetings that you yourself might have been engaging in. Do you find it less productive or more productive? Do you find that it's now more busier for you? And do you find that there's more expectations built on your productivity, because you should be available to be contacted by your customers or clients or work colleagues by online means? And then you've got the conferences where you have four or five meetings a day in some cases, Zoom or otherwise. And it's colloquially known as Zoom fatigue. Obviously, that means you're petered out, you've had too many meetings, It doesn't really matter whether people are fully dressed or half dressed, but what does happen is it tends to be obvious in some cases that audio does have its place. And that's not just social audio, but you know, work audio, where you have a conference that's not necessarily requiring everybody to be online with a video camera on the device. The good thing about that is that no one really cares what you're dressed in. All you want is they want to hear the voice. They want to hear the enthusiasm or the acknowledgement that you've undertaken some involvement in the conversation, and whatever you've said is what you're going to do. That's the same with video, of course, but with video, you can't, you know, appear on a video dressed sometimes inappropriately or in the wrong scenario. In some cases, you can. I would say that if you were in a swimsuit on a beach, for instance, for the majority of your calls, then it may not be appropriate. So you may in fact be in an office of your own at home, talking with other people in an office, or their version of an office, or a space, shall we say. And to do that, you know, they dress up in a shirt or a t-shirt or whatever it is. If they're men, they might shave or whatever it is. But with audio, of course, no one's going to see that or know that. So there are schools of thought that do suggest that audio sometimes is a welcome break. So have a think about that. If you're running teams of people, when I say running teams of people, if you're involved with teams of people, are those people have a workload or some type of checked responsibility where you or others check on what they've done? Have a good think about motivating people, keeping them interested, wanting, and occasionally, not necessarily all the time, giving that video call conference a break and having an audio version where if people can do what they want to a degree, meaning that they can be where they want to be because they're only talking on their phone or on whatever device that they're using. So breaking up the perceived monotony of Zoom fatigue or online video conferencing fatigue with a little bit of audio is probably not a bad thing. Human nature often dictates where the ears are seemingly listening but aren't hearing. That's just too much information, too many conferences, too many meetings. How do we know when that is? Probably to your cost, you find out that what the team could have and should have been doing has not been carried out. Simply overwhelming. And the expectation that someone's always online means that your customers and clients who may be having problems with your online serving, it may be you, it may be an influx of activity pursuant to your advertising or the needs of the day, depending on what's happening in the society. But you've got workers out there who are at home, you're saving costs and renting an office money. You have all of these demands from a financial point of view that are seemingly no longer there because the workforce is now 90% at home or even 100% of their own homes. They're expected to put in so many hours a day and Their workload has increased because everything's online. There's a lot of newbies online. The system may not perform to its expectations because of a multitude of new business. There are, problems where people can't do basic things because they're new to the system. They've come on board online, and you have to deal with that. So how do you deal with that? Well, one thing is, do you have enough people? Are you having the right people on duty at the right time? Those things are pretty obvious, but the fatigue of your people, the ones that work with Unity, is that caused by too many meetings? Is it meeting-itis? That's, are you expecting them to have two meetings a day plus a workload of serving clients who may have problems? Do they have to contact, your IT section, et cetera, et cetera? A lot of that can be done via audio conferencing. Obviously, you've got a choice now. But are we facing, in a rule, a new type of problem? That is online overloading our work base or our teams because we expect them to do things. Morning. In such an efficient manner, because we perceive that they don't have to drive to work. We perceive that they don't have to have a break in the morning, a break in the afternoon, and a lunchtime. We just perceive that they have a lunch, and it's up to their self-discipline to enforce those work hours and their eating hours. So we might put them on the clock. You start at, say, 9 or 8.30 or 8. You have a break at 10. You have a lunch for half an hour at 12. And you have another break at, say, 3. And you finish at 5 or 5.30 or whatever the case may be. You can now see that throw in a couple of meetings, that's fine. Throw in that workload. Does that person have a requirement to work overtime? Paid or unpaid, how many meetings can be carried out with those remote teams on a regular basis? Is it one meeting a week, or is it two meetings a day, or three meetings a day? So it depends on what you're doing, and it depends how efficient you need to be. Meaning, you've got to find where people stop being efficient because they're bored and unchecked and unsupervised, it all relies on self-discipline, or they're having problems with their connection, the equipment isn't to scratch, or isn't up to scratch, they require human contact. So, you as a team leader, business operator, or just part of the workforce, you now look at how often do our team members need human contact with their fellow workers in order for them to be efficient. Now that means let's have a physical meeting once a week, once a month, once a fortnight, or whatever it is that you figured out, where people meet each other, have a cup of coffee together, and engage in small talk, followed by a physical meeting, and then off they go to where they are. Now that probably in a lot of cases is good for team morale. It's great for the company, great for the people. They know they're part of a team. And from those physical meetings, you should be able to, if they've done, if they've carried out correctly, easily figure out what type of workload, what type of problems the team is having collectively. So you might come up with a plan. How do people find working from home versus working in an office What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? And how often, if any, should people have a physical meeting with their fellow workers? And where should that meeting be? And what sort of shape should that meeting take? Is it that we all meet together on a midweek day for breakfast somewhere? We all have breakfast and we sit around literally chatting. How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. How's it at your house? How's it at your home? And, you know, how's the family? All that stuff. Is that good for morale? I'd say so. Is it good for productivity? Yes. Yes, it should be good for productivity because you want to keep the machine oiled. You want to keep people happy. You want to keep them productive. How do you measure productivity? Well, these things are differently measured, but productivity in a nutshell, when people have a self-discipline requirement, which can be quite big, you look at that productivity, which relies on self-discipline, and you realize that a person has not been trained in this way, but basically is now undertaking these type of activities with self-discipline as a big motivation and a big call on their part, that they may not have been trained for it. So here we are, 2022. People have been working at home for some time, partly at home or partly in office, but they actually haven't been trained for it, have they? You may or may not have dedicated people in your organization whose job is to ensure that the people not only have the right equipment and the right connections, but they're happy, happy in their work so they're productive, not feeling like they're enslaved in a almost impossible workload arena where they're constantly talking to different people and sorting out their problems, but it's one after the other and it's getting too much for them, and the meetings that they have are far too much for them to handle. So you need to have an upper echelon, excuse the term, meeting on how's the welfare of the troops, how's the productivity of the troops, what can we do as executives to ensure that our people are able to access, and I know this sounds very cliched, the tools required and the assistance required in order for them to be happy, very productive, and they can advance and they can see advancement as a pathway for their present activities. In other words, they're doing X amount of business. It may or may not be to the level of expectations. But when they get to that level of expectations and they surpass it, can they advance? And because you no longer have an office, there's not a car park you can give these people. There's not a corner office. There's only really a wage and other inducements. So how do you measure productivity? Do you find productivity has increased since the pandemic? And is it a great idea to be working from home? Many smaller operations have gone online. Do find that a lot of e-commerce activity is starting to happen and has happened. Not just the sales mergers that occur with people getting a bit of retail or merchandise or whatever. What I'm talking about here is, do you find that your customer base, which was previously very much an experience which was ring up a person, ring up a salesperson, ring up a support person, do you find that there's an increase in activity simply because, well, that's a person didn't say hello because didn't have a reason business on. Do you find that productivity is increasing along with sales? Because people are now prone to buy online. Therefore, if you concentrate on your online scenario, perhaps using a small or a normal ERP type sort of scenario where you can fulfill back orders, etc., etc., then you might move a lot of your business if it's customer facing online. And in fact, using APIs, etc., you can do a lot of business online. Therefore, the type of work that your workforce engages in now, pursuant to the online emphasis, may change. It may be more of a supportive role, it may be a proactive role, where they're encouraging people to go online, etc., etc. And what is their expectations of advancement? So people change. So all these different things mean that the people who you have in your business who are responsible for HR or and productivity and sales now have to start thinking a little bit different. They have to start thinking, does fatigue creep in? Are we having too many video meetings? Can we have some of them audio meetings? How often do we have physical meetings so that the troops can meet each other and feel happy that there's some human engagement? I do recall some time ago, there was a school of thought as regard to punishments. And the school of thought was, what is the worst punishment? And I may be wrong, but I think there's now a bit of truth here. The prisoners who were kept in Devil's Island, a French imprisonment sentence that was carried out in this shark-infested waters of this island. So it wasn't actually in the waters, but the island was surrounded by sharks or whatever it was. And it was based on solitary confinement. The only interaction these prisoners had with the outside world was hearing the occasional footsteps of the guards walking on the roof. And they said that that was the worst punishment of all, to be devoid of human contact. Now, if you look at that, and you can see that it does creep in. So there is a need. Obviously, you're talking to people, and I'm having a podcast now. There may or may not be X amount of people listening to this podcast, but because of the long tail effect, next month when I start doing interviews with people, then this might be a part of the backlog. People say, oh, I haven't heard that before. Well, of course I haven't heard that before, because I'm not Joe Rogan. I'm not these guys that have a huge following, because I'm basically unknown. But you can, backlog, with the long tail, you can have very worthwhile content that can be continually served up for those who want to look at what you've done in the past. So if you look at the Devil's Island experience, people who are devoid of human contact find it extremely difficult and a cruel and unusual punishment. So how do we deal with that? Well, one of the ways is, it's not just audio contacting people or video conferencing people that can be counted as human contact. What it is there is a requirement for team members to meet each other every so often. And I believe if you do that, even if it's small teams, not necessarily regional teams, I think you'll keep everybody happy. You'll be able to listen to their feedback. I personally don't like typing feedback forms out to the nth degree, but I don't mind having a chat about things. So do embrace interrupting your video meeting cycles with some audio. Do think about, and I'm sure you're doing it already, but do think about having regular physical meetings with the team. Do think about organizing somebody, or even yourself, as to redefining productivity, redefining morale boosting activities and inducements, a pathway to advancement, and put yourself in the shoes of a person who's been working in office and now works at home. There is a bit of a honeymoon period where, that's fantastic, I can do this, I can do that. Yeah, that's great. But when does it reach a saturation point where the person's now starting to feel the expectations of productivity are starting to turn this person into a robot-like existence, where the person slowly having a morale problem, slowly having an issue that you won't pick up? So that's human nature. Does this person need a break? How do you give this person a reward for great work? Can this person have a day off or half a day off? Or can this person work, in fact, less hours for the same pay? Many things to think about. Many things have been done. But we're in a different world now. Some people will never return to an office because their office won't exist. Organizations and people have made a lot of money by leasing out offices to corporates and government departments may find that those very offices are derelict and have to be converted into apartments or whatever, because that type of business, very dependable business, is ebbing and in fact may slow down and disappear in the main. Oopsie-daisy. So anyway, my earpiece has fallen out. I don't know if it's still going. But let's have this conversation later on. Take care. See ya.